The reality for many of you is that investment properties where you live have become absolutely unaffordable. The good news is that there are many cities with affordable properties and many of those under 100K. If you're someone who's ready to buy your first out-of-state property in the next 4 months, then I encourage you to check out my free training that'll break down the process and show you exactly what it takes to invest out of state. I purchased properties out of state and it's changed my life. The same is possible for you. You simply need the right information. My free training will help you take that next step towards buying your first out-of-state property. You can watch the training right now at outofstatemoney.com, or you can click the link in the description of this episode. Again, you can find it at outofstatemoney.com, or you can click the link in the description of this episode.
Excuse me, may I talk to you for a second?
Yes. This is the Black Real Estate Dialogue, and the purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors.
Before we dive a bit more into the developments that you've done out there and what you're working on out here, I would love if we could spend some time talking about the process. Mm-hmm. Feedback that I've gotten from folks is they want more explanation of like the development process. Mm-hmm. So if we could maybe walk through that at a high level, what the process is like, and I'm sure as we talk about specific stuff, we'll get a little bit deeper. But if we could just ground ourselves in just what the process is that somebody can expect if they're looking to get into development.
For sure. So the first thing is finding a site, right? So one thing when we look for sites, we're making sure our sites have utilities. And it's super easy to figure out if you have water and electricity or gas if needed. You know, for us in Joshua Tree, it just takes one quick call to the Joshua Tree Water District to say, hey, just want to know if this parcel of land was connected to water. And it's a minute call and they'll be able to confirm that with me on the phone. Wow. And we want to make sure it has water, because if you do buy a lot that doesn't have water, not connected to any type of, public infrastructure, I've heard prices from the water district up to $150,000 to bring in water. So, wow. So most of the time that'll probably break a deal. We want to make sure, you know, that's there. And then we want to make sure there's electricity. So all I do for finding electricity is I look on the satellite map. And if I see that little, electrical pole, I know that we're able to connect to, you know, Edison, SoCal Edison, which is the electric company out there. We know we're allowed to connect to the electrical there. So, those are the two main things I want to do. I want to vet out first. The next thing I want to do is make sure it's in the right price, make sure it's in a good area, and it's the right size that whatever I'm creating. If I'm building a home that's just going to be a regular home, I want to know, okay, is this going to be profitable when it's all said and done? Mm-hmm. I also want to check the comps in the area. So I want to make sure, like for me, I'm building luxury houses. I don't want to put a luxury house in an area where only $200,000 houses are being sold. I want to put a luxury house in an area where there's a couple of million dollar homes that are being sold. So now I know that I have comps to support this house as well. And once I can get all those, and probably, you know, once I get all that together, I know that it's a go. I check it off on my list and I'm able to acquire it. So a good land out there that I've acquired probably can range anywhere from $25,000 to $50,000. That'll check off all those benchmarks.
If you're someone who lives in an area where it's so expensive to buy real estate and you feel like it's impossible, then I have something for you. I just released a free guide that's going to give you the 8 steps you need to take to buy your first out-of-state property. I bought several properties out-of-state, living in California, investing in Ohio, and you could do the same. It's just a matter of having the right information. So click the link in the description of this episode to get your free guide today.
And then the next thing I'll go and do is find an architect. And I think finding an architect is like half the battle when you are going to do any type of new development. And the reason I say that is because a lot of times when you have this vision of creating a luxury house, sometimes you get veered off or want to hire an architect who's cheaper. But you want to hire an architect who's built the house that you really envision. And the way I say vetting out architects is like, you know, drive around and look at the houses, do a little bit of research. It's not too hard to do the research and find out who that architect was who built that home, and reach out to the architect, let them know that you want to build something, and let them know your vision. I even say, like, pick the architect that if you can't say anything to the architect about your project, he's going to build something as close as possible as what you think. So that's kind of like, that's how you want to pick an architect. Yeah. And then pick a local architect as well. So the reason I say pick local architects is local architects have a lot of resources. They know how to maneuver through the planning department. They can do it faster. Time is money in these deals as well. So you want to make sure somebody can get through the planning department, you know, efficiently. As soon as you pick an architect now and you get your plans, you know, now you're doing the plan submittal process. You know, in Joshua Tree, it can take anywhere from 2 to 4 or 5 months, depending how efficient you are. You want to value engineer your, project as well. So, I say during the planning process, have your contractor already ready and have your contractor kind of bidding your project out. And the reason why you do this in the planning project, because sometimes we get a little anxious and we want to build something immaculate and it's like put all this glass in the house and do all crazy stuff, but we're really not knowing the cost of the build. So it's called value engineering. And that's basically just in the pre-development stage to value engineer your project so you know how much it's going to cost to build your product. This is super important, and it's a mistake I made on my first home. And I can, like, you know, I'm happy to say it, but I built this house and I love it to this day. I love everything about it, but I built this house that has panoramic glass all around the 360 around it. And I was just like, in my head, I was just like, okay, modern house Joshua Tree, it's going to cost $300 a square foot. That's what my couple developers told me. And this house ended up costing around like $425 a square foot. And I didn't value engineer it at all. When I was done out of the planning stage, I went and got a contractor. And nowadays, every project I do, I make sure I have the contractor ready. Like, hey, what's this one going to cost roughly around, give or take? You know, can you do analyze it? And a contractor is more than likely they're not going to charge you for it because they want your business. Yep. So if they, you know, so that's something that's not going to cost you anything. It just takes a little bit of your time. And then the next thing I do is when the plans are approved from the city, I go to my construction lender. And so the specific construction lender that I have gives me 60% loan to value. So what they'll do is I'll pay for an appraisal and the appraisal will come in and appraise my plans as if the house has already been built. And for example, like one of my homes just got appraised for, it hasn't been built yet, but they appraised the plans for $1,050,000. So what they'll do is give me 60% of that. So 60% of $1,000,000 is $600,000. My contractor already bidded the house out for $550,000. So now almost everything is like, I love this. Almost everything is like in place where we're getting 60% LTV. It covers the cost of the construction loan, the construction financing, and then it covers also 6 to 8 months of interest. We add that inside the loan as well. So I'm no money out of pocket. The only money I'm out of pocket is the cost of the land and the cost of the pre-development. And then it gives me two options now. It gives me an option to build this home, sell it for $1,000,000 when it's all said and done, because that's what the market is appraising it for, or to refinance it at 75 or 70% loan to value. And even if I refinance it at 75% loan to value, it's a burr, you know, buy, rent, refinance, repeat. I'm able to refinance it and cash out a little bit of equity from the project. So it gives me two exit strategies, and I like to have two exit strategies in any deal. So I'm not really forced to do anything, forced to sell. And I noticed that when you're forced to sell, that's when things can get a little shaky and get rocky and you can lose a lot of money. So I like to just have two exit strategies, and that's the way I'll go about, you know, doing that. And then after the bank appraises it, we get the construction loan. And we're using a local contractor, somebody who's built in the area, somebody who can build efficiently in the area. That's very important. Stay local with the contractors. And, you know, stay local with the contractors, and then also get a contractor who's not building cookie cutter homes or renovations, but they've built custom luxury homes before. Yep. That's super important as well. So we'll do that. And then we'll just, you know, we'll oversee the project of the build. And when time gets ready to refinance it or to sell it, we're making sure that we got the ducks in a row, with our bank lender to go and, to refinance it, pay back our construction lender, and to move on to the move on, make it Airbnb or sell it.
Definitely.
Hey, that was a lot, but
that's perfect. I feel like I can walk out of here and go develop something myself.
And what I learned about new development was so cool was my rehabs, like the first rehab I did in Joshua Tree, I bought it, I put 3% down, and then I added, and then I did a $60,000 renovation. So it was all in like an $80,000 investment, and all in for the property, I was roughly in about 330. So $80,000 investment, all in 330. With the new construction, I'm all in on one of mine. I'm all in 450, all in 450. But my capital out of pocket was a $45,000 investment. So I'm building new construction for less than I was doing the rehabs and the flips for.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. Remember to follow us on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue. And be sure to leave us 5 stars and a review on your favorite podcast listening platform. Until next time.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.